For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Madonna Hines, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, which is now up and hilarious. We have so much fun with that. And I'm here with the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelker of the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, baby?
Pretty swell. How about you?
So good. I've had a really fun week so far. Every birthday, Ben and I both went separately on Molly McAleer's podcast,
Mother May I Sleep With podcast.
Mm-hmm. Ben's is up now. Mine comes up, I think, later in the week. And I also did Dumb Gay Politics this week with Julian Brandy. So go check that out. I talk like a crazy conspiracy person because that's what I love to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
With all that that's stuff. True. So go check it out, everybody.
Yeah, check those podcasts out. I personally had a great time on Molly's podcast. It was so fun. I can't wait to hear. I haven't listened to the episode just yet, but I'm going to try to listen to it this afternoon.
I love her so much.
Yeah, she's great.
Mine, we didn't even do a funny podcast because it was like a really slow movie and it was the Mary-Kay Letourneau case. And so it was like, yay, let's talk about child rape. And we actually had a really serious 2-hour conversation, which is very rare for me to ever have. So
wow. And you heard the latest news about Mary-Kay Letourneau, right?
Well, that the guy filed separation papers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think she got them thrown out, right? What happened?
Oh, I don't know. I just know that they're getting divorced. And I think, was it The Guardian who had a headline that said, man divorces woman who raped him as a child.
That fucking movie. It was so depressing, but it was fun having that discussion with Maul. So anyway, go check out that stuff. And thank you to other people for having us on because, you know, that helps us.
Yeah, we're going to be on more podcasts, so keep an ear out for our voices, the dulcet sounds of our voices.
So today's episode, I also have to say, go listen to the bonus. For all of the premium subscribers, thank you so much for supporting us. Our bonuses range from just us talking shit before the show about whatever we feel like, and then sometimes we have a theme. Last week we talked about TV shows that we don't cover, like Twin Peaks and what else, Ben? A lot.
Dear White People and Mommy Dead and Dearest.
Yes, that show, Mommy Dead and Dearest. And this week we did an RHOC play-by-play of the trailer. So, I mean, it is scene by scene until the very
end. That's Real Housewives of Orange County, by the way.
Yeah, so go check that out. I'm sorry we're not doing that on the main show, but we did a whole hour and we're already doing enough shows. So go listen to that, everybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to hear us dissect the new Real Housewives of Orange County trailer, shot by shot, from everything from what they're saying to the little pearls on Vicky's outfit, on the Vicky Dickie, as we call it, then go listen because we had a lot of fun. And we probably could have done a second hour except for the fact that we're like, we got to start recording our Southern Charm podcast.
Yeah, so here we are to do that. Welcome to Southern Charm. We get a classic shot to open this of Thomas naked in front of the bathroom mirror, getting ready, putting on under eye cream or something, and talking to himself, most likely in French.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, French.
Yeah. The episode opens up with I think that was actually, I think that shot was like in the middle of the episode.
Oh, that was later. You're right. I just had getting ready, but it was getting the party ready.
Yeah, it probably seared into your brain because that will happen when you see those sort of shots. But yeah, it starts with Saint's birthday party, and Thomas is getting ready for it, and you know, putting some tables and chairs up, and you know, getting a cake out, and
just pretending Deidre to be an enormous person or a normal person.
Yeah, but you know what though? It's kind of funny. You know, compare this birthday party, his one year birthday party for Saint, with Monique's birthday party for her 1 year old child, Milani. You know, like this is an interesting study in contrast. That woman spent $30,000 to have Petting Zoo and everything under the sun at this ridiculous party for a one-year-old. And Thomas, who, this is a man whose family has a bridge in Charleston. What do they do? They just put out like a few tables and a cake.
But it's also the difference when the man is in charge. Because on all these shows, you have the man like, how much is this gonna cost, baby?
Yeah.
And on this, he's like, is it more than $5? But he does say things like, well, with kids, the days are long, but the years are short. It's so true. I'm like, you're not running for anything, and you're not going to win office, so please stop faking it. Thomas! Although, he is the change we need, and by that I mean he's wearing blue jeans today instead of white jeans. So thank you.
Thank you so much. We also, we cross cut with all sorts of stuff because, you know, the beginning of the episode of people doing things, and we see Naomi giving Craig a little pedicure. He's like, are you doing it right? Or are you messing up my toes again? And she's like, shut the fuck up. You should be so happy I'm doing this for you in the first place.
Would you fucking give it up? Naomi is taking it a little far.
Well, she's stressed. She's schoolwork, and Craig keeps embroidering Gizmo onto every piece of fabric in the house. She's like, this was my mother's wedding dress, and there's a giant cat blob on it now.
Craig's just looking at her like, I can't even paint my toenails without getting yelled at. Please don't shit on me. So Landon is pretending to do things on her computer, which I'm assuming is not Googling the names for any kind of business that already exists, since she still doesn't know.
As well, my thank you.
It's like, hello, Thomas. This is Landon. Thank you for the invite to the party. I'd love to be there for Sate, but click.
Yeah, I'm gonna be cleaning my hair. I'm gonna be starting my car.
Landon, you've got a belt loose.
Landon, did you just receive a transmission from 1845?
She's like a fairy, like if fairies carried machine guns.
I just transitioned from her lap to my lap.
Little tiny Tinkerbell gun.
Little Tommy guns.
So stupid. Yeah. Okay, so Catherine and Elizabeth and Liz are getting ready for the party too. And Catherine's so nervous, and you can tell because she's like, I'm so nervous. I'm like so flustered.
She's like, deep breaths, a lot of deep breaths, a lot of deep erms happening. Erm, erm, erm.
I'm anxious to show everybody I'm in a different place. This is the new me. You've got bigger hair, and your face is contoured to look like a twig. Like a twig with eyes. It's the same.
You literally have a triangle of non-contour in the middle of your face.
Also, she's telling Liz in the car, she's like, I miss being with Thomas and the kids at the same time, you know? Oh, my God. I don't know why I'm making her Carol.
I noticed that also.
From New York. Sorry, well, I don't know where that came from.
It's Catherine waking up in the morning. So then we have Patricia, Patricia and Cam are being driven to the party by Michael. And Patricia in the back seat turns to Cam and is like, so what do we have in store for us aside from a petting zoo? Is there going to be a screening of a children's movie courtesy of Blockbuster Vidya? It's my favorite purveyor of video.
I like that she's saying petting zoo, but probably not expecting an actual petting zoo. She probably just looks at everybody who goes to these things like they're just animals. Like, where are we going other than a petting zoo with a pool, wander around petting each other and convincing each other that everything's okay?
It's her nickname for Snowden. Oh, is petting zoo coming?
It must be embarrassing to come to your child's party as a guest. Cameron's like, I agree, cringe. Yeah. She's like agreeing with the cringe.
Yeah. It must be so mortifying to come to your to party for your child when you don't even have custody. How embarrassing. You're just a guest, no custody, but it's your own child right there. How terrible for you. How terrible for a poor little girl. Am I right, everyone?
Oh, I like when Patricia gets all judgmental when she's had like four husbands.
Yeah.
God bless
so her. Catherine, Good so Catherine bless and Elizabeth, so Catherine and Elizabeth show up at the party, and it's like a moment. It's like Catherine and Thomas, their first time, you know, seeing each other face to face for a year. It's all, you know, hello stranger, hey, how's it going?
The
you
music's
know,
like dun 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 dun. As she arrives, like hello, and Thomas goes, well, the mother's here. What the hell, Thomas? God.
Meanwhile, Kinsey doesn't even give a shit. Kinsey's just going over the sweet tea. Kinsey likes that sweet tea contraption over there. She likes a good spigot. You open it up, pour yourself something to drink, and close it up. She hasn't learned about servants yet.
Did you notice that there is a large poster board on an easel? Thomas is like really into poster board art. It's like he's trying to sell the idea of his kid to his dad for some more money again, just in case dad shows up. He's like, it's a poster board art, dad. It's a presentation we're giving you for more money to redo the kid's face or whatever. But it's a poster kid with Saint's face and then an American flag glued to all the corners. A real one.
It's probably like, I remember from my bar mitzvah and like everyone who's like ever had a bar mitzvah ever, there's like usually some sort of like poster board on an easel out in the lobby of the synagogue or the reception where it may have a picture of you. And then everyone comes up and writes something on it like, congratulations, I can't believe you're a man today. Something like that.
And there's always that friend who writes a dick. Like, mom's like crossing it out. Making it a big happy face.
So Thomas and Catherine have like all sorts of awkwardness between them. They don't really know what to say, so they're complimenting each other on their letters, like, thank you for the letter. Oh, well, thank you for your letter. I apologize for my penmanship. And she's like, well, it was on really nice cardstock. It's like, oh, papyrus.
These
the
two.
Universal language for awkwardness between divorcees.
Yes, and Catherine goes, is he in the playpen? Are there animals? And the baby's just like sitting in a pile of goats.
Yeah. And she's like, did you plan this party? And he's like, well, sort of. And I'm like, I mean, like, cut to Deidre sitting there angrily, like chewing on a Cheeto or something. Like, I planned this whole fucking thing. I'm basically his wife.
So everybody starts arriving, and JD takes Thomas aside, and he's like, Thomas! So, looks like a picture-perfect family, son. Line the communication open. Thomas says, well, there's baby steps. Like, literally.
Speaking of baby steps, Patricia shows up. She's like, where's the petting zoo? I think I stepped in goose poo. Does that count as a baby step when you step in your own poo?
She's just patting all the guests on the head. Hello, goat.
Hello, poor people. I'm petting you now.
Hello, donkey. This donkey told me her last name is Snowden.
Do I have to get a rabies shot before I pet Snowden? No? Okay.
When Thomas tells JD, he goes, well, she complimented the paper stock. And JD said, yeah, now you can use that old treasury paper.
Yeah, and Thomas is like, wah, 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 wah.
So Catherine, Cameron sees Catherine and just walks the other way. And she's brought Michael, which is so Patricia.
Right. I mean, Patricia walks the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Not Cameron.
Yeah. Patricia sees her and just goes over to T-Rab instead. Craig shows up. Craig and Naomi show up. They brought like this little walker thing, and Craig's like, it's a walker. Do you already have one? Because if you do, then we'll just take this for Gizmo. I was thinking of embroidering it anyway.
It's probably already got Gizmo hair all in it. He's probably been wheelbarrowing Gizmo around in that thing.
Yeah.
So Shep comes in looking like just like shit. I mean, Shep is basically just looking like shit all the time now, which I guess is the point, because that's his storyline. So he comes in with kind of a goatee, and everyone's super awkward with Catherine, and Snowden's there with the baby, and Catherine passes, and she goes, "Hi, Catherine." Catherine's
she
like,
waves.
"Oh, hi."
She fully waves at Catherine from across the way, like, "Hi, over here. Here's my baby, Catherine. The baby with the brain who leaked out. Now it's alive and well. Come on over here, Catherine." "No, no, okay, okay."
And Catherine just is like, "Hi," and then walks off. And she says, "Well, you know, my son is here in a stroller. You'd think she'd say, 'Here's your living, breathing son, Jennifer Snowden,' but I guess I know where I stand now." Oh, Snowden.
Snowden, don't be so desperate for Catherine's friendship. She's an unhinged 25-year-old who just got out of rehab.
Well,
make friends with people your own age, Snowden.
She's fucked with the wrong lady, because Snowden acts like she's so sweet and innocent, but no, she's not. She's going to be doing a lot of fucking with Catherine from this moment on.
I like Patricia also. And Patricia also, who, like, again, is staying away from Catherine. She's like, "I have no intention of having a conversation with her. Why should I? You know, there are people that are hurricane and tornado trackers, but I'm not one of them. I'm a money tracker, if you know what I'm saying, darling."
I'm like, the hurricane started in your son's bedroom, and you were there encouraging the hurricane. So you may not track them, but you fucking start them, okay? Eye of the storm!
I don't like tracking tornadoes, but I have to say I absolutely love that Helen Hunt film, Twister. I rented that 10 times from Blockbuster Video. I almost told Uncle Joey to keep it for me.
I'll never forget the part where the cow was swirling in the sky. Goodbye, Donkey Snowden.
Have you ever seen anything as exciting as a million Pepsi cans flowing up into a tornado? I don't think so.
I may not be a tornado tracker, but I'm a hornado whacker. Michael, could you please bring around the automobile? Man. She's like so offended she has to have the car brought around. What a bitch. Yeah.
She's like, "I'm not going to stick around for this shitty cake bought from a local grocery store. I'm just going to leave and have a bourbon sour at home with my inflatable flamingos and my turtle bell. That could be wrong from either the head or the tail. It's an innovation."
Also, I liked when Chelsea sees Catherine. She's like, "Oh, well, hiya, Catherine. Have you done headshots yet?" With her Gump accent. And Catherine's like, "Oh, well, you know, just waiting to get younger again." Also, lots going on. What with the birthday party?
Well, maybe you should go quail hunting. Or, you know, you can go crab it with me in Austin tomorrow. Do it just like the Indians do it. You know what I'm saying, Catherine?
So the cake. Chef is like, "Gosh, she's eating the monkey's face. That's not nice." And then gifts come out, and everybody's like, "Wow, wow, what a big step. What a big step. The couple's being so nice to each other." And Thomas says, "I feel a sense of sadness that the kids can't have both of us at the same time all the time." Really? You've probably got some fucking Jerry Springer fool hiding behind a tree ready to give a surprise drug test.
I like that. "I feel so bad that the kids can't have all of us all the time, at all times, in all time zones. Anyway, kids, have fun going back to the guest house behind my house."
Which is happens to be in mountain time.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I get that. It does suck for the kids. It really sucks for the kids that their parents are in this terrible situation. But also, you could be doing things to be more present in the kids' life. Like, for instance, living in the same house with them.
Yeah. Well, hey, look. I would have a separate house for my kids if I could. I would have kids if I could have a separate house.
Oh, I would have a separate house for my kids too, but I just wouldn't then go going around telling people, "Oh, I wish I could be there for them all the time." I'd be like, "No, I like having the kids when I have the kids. And then the other time, you know, it's like that old fashioned super wealthy rearing, right? Where you see the kids are raised by the nursemaids or whatever. And then they come in for like the dinner parties. That's how I like my kids.
Daddy loves you. Congratulations on no longer pooping in your panty pants. And she's like, he's not potty trained yet. I don't have to see it. Well done, Saint.
So then we go over to Landon and Snowden meeting up, and they're at like happy hour or something like that.
Yeah, that's what you get for fucking with Snowden, girl. Now look who's Snowden helping out.
Yeah, exactly. So Landon gives Snowden a gift because she forgot to bring it to the sip and see or whatever. And they're talking about Catherine. I guess Snowden's saying how Catherine seemed like she was behaving herself or whatever. And Landon's like, 2 hours of semi-decent behavior does not impress me. Reverse. It's a disappointment.
Reverse.
It's reverse.
So Snowden starts in.
Well, Patricia was there. Yeah, it's funny you bring her up because Patricia had me over and she suggested that I just like give Thomas a chance.
Snowden's like, wah, 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 wah. She's like, maybe someone like Thomas, but maybe not actual Thomas.
Are they ever going to do a paternity test on that baby? Because that's Catherine has been alleging that Thomas is the father of that baby. And I want that to be the truth.
Now, that would be interesting.
And by alleging, I mean, I read that in a comment on Facebook somewhere. So if you're going to quote somebody, hunt for that comment and do not tweet at me because I have no idea.
Yeah, that would be an interesting twist. That'd be a real interesting twist.
Yeah, because Snowden's like, hell no. And she says,
well, I wanted to be alone to tell him because I had to say, like, I'm not into it right now. But there was this, like, lady there and she was drunk. And Thomas has redeeming qualities. And I don't want to disqualify him, but I don't want to be seen to be after him for his money.
She's turning into Bobcat Goldthwait, if you notice that.
Well, at this point, this is when Snowden has to make a decision. Do I steer Landon to someone else so that way I can keep my prospects for Thomas alive? Or do I get back at Catherine by pushing Landon to Thomas? And the desire for revenge clearly outweighs any desire for romantic interest in Thomas. So that's when Snowden's like, Landon, I think you should give it a try. Like, you know, you're always going to regret something that you don't try. You're never going to regret something that you do try unless it's drugs or unprotected sex. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I've got a baby. See how that works out?
And Snowden says,
if Catherine finds out, it's going to be like a reprise of that movie Carrie.
And then she makes stab motions. That is not Carrie, Snowden.
It's not Carrie at all. Okay. I don't know what it is, but it's
like
not
Psycho.
Carrie.
It's not...
Maybe stupid, Fatal Attraction.
Stupid Snowden.
Yeah. It'll be just like that because when you fall in love with Thomas, it'll be like you're going to the prom and you're going to be standing under a bucket of pig's blood and Catherine's going to come in and knock it over and close everyone else in the prom room and burn them all up to death. Now, here's the thing. I actually do think that Catherine is capable of doing all those things, but I don't think this situation is a Carrie situation.
No. It's just funny that Snowden says Carrie and then starts stabbing stupid Snowden.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it just didn't make sense because it wasn't taking place at a prom. And Catherine isn't the butt of like
some Carrie just
awful
makes
prank.
Things fly around. And Snowden's like, remember that movie where Carrie stabbed people after her mom got mad at her about. I think, no, that's not it. There
but that being said, I really could imagine Catherine in a remake of Carrie. Because if anyone would look crazy with pig's blood poured all over them, it would be Catherine. She would have that face. She sort of does it anyway. She sort of has invisible pig's blood on her at all times, that face of like,
the changing of the contouring.
Yeah. For once, her contouring looks great.
And she's also a redhead with freckles, like, you know, Sissy.
Sissy Spacek.
Like old Sissy Spacek. So,
and maybe this would be it's a great vehicle to bring Piper Laurie back. Why can't I say her name right? Piper Laurie.
You make her
Laurie?
So fancy. Yeah,
what is
Piper,
it? Piper Laurie.
Piper Laurie. Uh-huh.
We talked about Piper Laurie last week on the bonus episode, everyone.
Yeah,
right. 2 weeks in a row for Piper Laurie.
Yeah, once you go Piper Laurie, you never go back key. I love Piper Laurie. She's a good actress. She's a good crazy lady.
Yeah.
So over at Patricia's, Thomas comes over and Michael's like, Mrs. Ashtool, we'll see you in the dining room. Patricia?
Listen, now the turtle.
Mwah. Mwah. Like three kisses.
Mwah.
What were you going to say before I interrupted you with just kissing three times on my microphone?
Nothing. I think I made a joke about the turtle bell again. You know, I'll always go out of my way to make a turtle bell joke.
So he's like, bonjour, mademoiselles. And she says, I took French for 7 years, and to this day can order food and call young girls whores, and that's about it.
The only thing I got out of my 7 year education in French was being able to sing along perfectly with Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir.
All I really know how to say in French is, you did this to yourself, you slutty little monster. Get off my property before I call the police.
Croissant.
So she's talking about the birthday. It was nicely done. At one point, you and Catherine were talking, and it looked amicable and civilized, which is wonderful. Such a bitch.
It's always wonderful when we can reach out to the less fortunate, am I right?
Did she steal any silverware this time, Thomas?
Does she know that the walker that Craig got her is not a new car? Something for the baby.
Thomas says, well, I was taken aback. One funny thing is, this was good. As I was leaving, this is funny. As I was leaving, she was putting a bottle in my pocket. And I said, careful, you might get pregnant. That was funny. That was funny.
It's funny because it's true. By the way, I have to say something about that little walker thing that Craig got. I don't understand it, to be honest.
It's a wheelbarrow.
No, I know. It was a little thing that you sit in, and it has like a handle that you push around. Is it supposed to be for another kid to push it? Because Catherine was like pushing it. And she's like, this gift is great. And she was like nearly horizontal because it only came up to like her shins. And she's sitting there like pushing. I was like, that seems so ergonomically incorrect.
That's such a Craig gift. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, when it's between Craig and Catherine, it's like, who was wrong and why? No one will ever know.
It was, like, the secret
is in a hole dug on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, I would like a parent to elaborate on how that toy is supposed to work. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it.
So they're talking about whatever. So then, of course, it switches. Are you over Catherine? Are you ever going to get together again? And he's like, no. And that's when she says, good. Onward and upward, I would say. Eat, drink, and remarry.
Mm-hmm.
So then she starts, like, doing the Landon thing again. And, you know, you could be... There's something to be said for friendship as a basis for a romantic relationship.
Yeah. Back in my day, call me old-fashioned, but men used to call on women. They'd buy flowers and take us to the theater. And sometimes we'd take a stroll on the promenade and see a concerto piece. And maybe if we're lucky, we'd go to the zoo and look at these interesting new things. Well, they play music and come out to a big horn thing that was on top of it. I loved it. Listen, Patricia, you are older than us, but you were not from like 1905.
Also, you probably dated for like a week before you married. I mean, you've been married four times. And then you get married and you make sure that he's in the room with his pacemaker when you turn on the microwave. Then you start all over again. What a lovely story. So he's like, well, maybe I'll take that advice. The faint of heart never won the fair lady. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
The big plan is that he's going to take Landon for a walk. That's going to be
okay,
the plan.
But her advice was court women, call on them, take them places, buy them flowers, and build a relationship. He's basically like, I'm in the neighborhood. I picked a flower out front. Want to sit on a bench? It's like, what the hell?
When you say build a relationship, you mean get her pregnant right away, right? And then we'll have a child, and then we have a new relationship. We built a relationship through her uterus, right?
So Cameron goes to her shrink, who basically gets paid to just sit there and nod, because Cameron doesn't let anybody talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Cameron's basically like, Well, remember when I said that I was going to have a baby was a long way off? Well, the other day I was talking to a psychic, and she was like, you're going to have a baby. And I thought, I'm going to have a baby. And the therapist's like, reflect on that. Well, okay. So we have a dock where we live, and I walked in the dock. My husband was sitting there, and he's all quiet. And he was thinking to himself, oh, like, what if I had a kid? I could teach my kid how to fish. And I thought to myself, I'm being so selfish. I should give him a kid. That way I can teach him how to fish. You know what they say? Give a kid a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a kid to fish, you're going to have to deal with a child for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying?
And I also, it kind of made me sad because she said, he would be such a good father. And I thought, who am I to stop him? I'm robbing a child of a good father. But she's still just doing it for him. Still hasn't said once, I actually want to have a baby. All she's saying is, I'm doing it for him. And that is the wrong reason. Although it will lead to a good future spinoff where the kid hates her and she's all resentful. And then so she's basically decided. The lady's like, you know your own answer. I don't even know why you're here. You're just going to answer damn self anyway. She's like, you're right. I'm going to get fat. And, that's so fun to say around a mother. Cameron.
Yeah, Myra, the therapist, is like, get the fuck out of my office.
You skinny whore.
So then we go see Austin and Chelsea. They're going to go crabbing, which is like the new thing on these Southern Charm shows, crabbing. And Chelsea's like, we're going to do it the way the Indians used to do it. Which I don't know what that means.
It means they'd stand in the water, look for crabs, and then get shot in the head.
Yeah, and then get colonized.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then have their lake taken over.
Yeah, so they're going to go
sounds
get crabs.
Sounds fun,
and
Chelsea.
Then be sent
great
to the middle
day.
Of the country. Yeah, okay, get it. So they go. She's like, all right, you put a stick in here, then you cast around with a net. Oh, look, you got some kelp. All right, wow, you're like a real man right now. So long story short, they get no crabs.
Yeah, Chelsea even upped the gump in this one. She's like, well, here's what you got to do to catch a crab. You put a chicken back on a string in the middle. It's like, Jesus Christ. Tom Hanks already got that Oscar, Chelsea. All right, reel it in.
The crabs were like, we're not falling for this shit. Okay.
Well, I guess we'll be stopping at a Chick-fil-A on the way home. Speaking of hunger, HelloFresh, you know what they want? They want to change the way people eat forever, okay?
Thank God for that, yeah.
For
real. They believe everyone deserves an honest, natural, delicious, healthy food. Thomas,
for this first birthday party, let's celebrate fresh ingredients and making magic in the kitchen.
Thomas, we know there's a chef in everyone, even me, Thomas. We think food brings people together. Good food allows us to live long, and great food lets us enjoy every bit of life. Thomas, the days are long, but the years are short. Thomas.
Yes, basically, HelloFresh is delicious food that you make yourself, and not in a gross, hard way, okay? These are delicious, easy recipes. You can get them done in like 30 minutes. Everything comes color-coded, cut, portioned. You are not wasting your damn life trying to make dinner.
Yeah, it's actually awesome. Like, this box will arrive, and it has all this food. Like, it has all this food in there, and they're all separated into separate boxes for the meal. And then under those, the little cardboard box, that's where you'll find your herbs and your condiments and whatever else you need to do things. Sometimes there's a little bit of cutting. Like, sometimes you have to, like, chop some herbs. And then under that, there's a freezer pack, and then below that is all your meats. And so the box that I got most recently, I had some ground beef in there, I had some chicken, and I had some salmon. And I basically ate for a week off that thing. It was amazing. I was doing recipe after recipe. And there was one point where I was like, I was planning on cooking my HelloFresh thing. And then I wound up getting like pulled into going out to dinner. And I was like, I need to make it tonight, because if I don't make it tonight, it's going to go bad. And so it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, oh God, I got to make my HelloFresh tonight. And I was like, but I want to go to sleep. It literally took like 25 minutes, and it was so easy that I was able to do it drunk at 1 a.m, and it tasted delicious.
I know. And usually at that time of the morning, we're eating crap. It's just like crap that you find around. And this is actually delicious, organic. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced, and they ain't kidding. So you guys do it, please. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, they source the freshest ingredients. They measure it's measured to the exact quantities, so there's no food waste. And it's all delivered to your doorstep in that groovy box that I mentioned.
Yeah.
So and by the way, there was a balsamic meatloaf in mine. Oh, so good.
Yeah, so go over to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code Crappens30 for $30 off your first week of deliveries, okay? That's HelloFresh.com and use the promo code Crappens30 for $30 off your first week of deliveries. That is HelloFresh.com, promo code Crappens30. So Thomas, there's like sex. This is when Thomas is in his towel in front of the mirror, putting eye cream on as sexy music plays.
Yes. And he puts the stuff under his eye and everything. He's getting ready because he's getting ready for his big walk. He's going to do a big walk with Landon. So while he's getting ready, Landon's on the phone with her quote unquote business partner trying to rename the website. And I was cracking up because Landon is like brainstorming names and she's like, well, I was thinking about Wayfarer or Orbit. I'm like, do you not know that there's Wayfair.com and Orbits.com? Come on now, Landon.
Orbit.com cracked me up. I mean, that's hilarious. She's like, what if it's like Velocity, but also where you travel, like Travelocity?
What about, like, you know, like it's some, where you're looking at places where you might want to go swimming, but you can't stop looking, so it's like Googles.
I used to know this farmer named McDonald.
Oh, no.
But it's like a place where, like, you could, like, you know, like, look at all these different places. Like, you can face all these places, but keep them all in, like, a book and call it, like, Facebooks.
If only there was a place where people could, like, yell for help. Like, help, you know?
Thomas is like, I just happened to be in the neighborhood and picked a flower from out front.
He literally said I was in the neighborhood. People think we make this up when we always are saying whenever someone shows up, says, I was in the neighborhood. Thomas literally says, I was in the neighborhood. And he shows up with his rose. And
the dog starts licking his dick. Yeah. The hell, Charlotte.
And Landon's like, for the future, orchids are my favorite.
I really like white oleanders.
Thank you.
So she's like, I'm so sad because of that house. That house is for sale, so I have to move. We'll just buy it.
It's $1 million, and I don't have that cash right now.
Short-term loan.
So they start going on a walk with Charlotte the cat dog. And they're like walking to the lake, and then they sit down on a bench. Benches are like the new, I don't know what they are. Benches are the new empty restaurants. So they sit down on the bench. This is actually the scene that we saw at the very beginning of the season. And, you know, Landon's talking about how she normally does a lap with Charlotte around the lake, but she normally does it alone. But it's nice to have Thomas with her. And this, I guess, is like her thing, because this is what she said to Drew last week, is that, like, Drew was the first guy who's ever gone on a walk with her in Charlotte. So now here's Thomas doing it, really pushing all her buttons. And it seems to be working.
She's like, I'm usually alone.
And he goes, well, I'm close. I'll give you my code and you can just come in and we'll have a glass of wine. I'm like, I don't think that's the point. She doesn't want to just drop by your house to blow you, fool. She's saying it was nice that you came to her or whatever. Yeah. So she's like, remember that drunk lady? And he's like, she seems so convicted of this information. It's like, that's you. That was you.
And then, you were the one who was convicted. So then he's like, I don't know. Why not give it a chance? I mean, I put some cream under my eyes today, so... You know, I'm going the extra mile. Literally the extra mile, because we can do a lap with Charlotte the cat dog, right?
Merci beaucoup, Penny.
And so then Landon's like, But then ultimately she's like, oh, well, I can't keep punishing him for Catherine. I'm like, no, it's not that you're punishing him for Catherine. It's that you're going to get involved with a guy who has a crazy ex who hates you and is going to bring so much drama in your life. But, you know, it's, you know, a guy who will walk with Charlotte. That's a compelling feature. So she's just like, sure, why not?
A guy who will help you specifically walk your dog. That's what that's like her dream, is to have someone help her walk her dog who's almost dead. So good, you know, Landon's still really good with that whole goal setting thing.
Yeah.
So over at Craig and Naomi's, they're driving and Craig's like, I have a surprise. She's like, oh, well, that's fun. You know, I don't want to think about when Gizmo dies. That's going to be so sad.
Yeah.
Great car combo. It's like, why? God.
Oh, Naomi, why'd you even say that about Mo?
Gizzy. Worrying about things changes nothing on this planet. It's a slippery slope because then it's going to be paranoia and then I'm going to have to start drugging you.
Yeah, so they go to the McDonald's drive-thru, and Greg's like, Gizmo loves drive-thrus. And by the way, I'm surprised. I don't think I've ever seen a cat free walking around in a car. Normally they're in their little cat carriers because they're crazy. But Gizmo is so chill. I love Gizmo. I want to give Gizmo a big old hug. I want Gizmo in my arms. I just want to hug that cat.
Yeah, so they go like through. A dog. I mean, I'm sorry. I like a cat who licks his stomach. I think that's so funny because most cats are like licking their butts or their wiener or whatever. And Gizmo's just like licking his big belly.
Yeah. So they go to McDonald's. And I love the fact that Gizmo loves a drive-thru. Gizmo's essentially Garfield at this point, right? We all admit this. Yeah. So they go to McDonald's. And oh, my God, that McDonald's looked so good, Ronnie. I wanted it so badly. They're sitting there eating their fries and they had their Oreo thingamabobber.
And I like that he eats a quarter pounder. You know, he's so sexy, Craig. How is he that skinny? He eats a big old quarter pounder that's so hot. He doesn't get like a little mini cheeseburger. But I don't trust Naomi. And I like Naomi, but I really like Craig. And it bugs me that Naomi's so up his ass. And it really bugs me that she's eating chicken nuggets. Those things are disgusting. They have like air bubbles in them.
All right. You know what? This is going to be a problem between the two of us, okay? First of all, don't come for the chicken nuggets, Ronnie. Do not. They are totally fake, and that is their appeal and their joy. I accept all the air bubbles in them. They're delicious, delicious air bubbles. Okay. Second of all, I'm a big Naomi fan, a huge Naomi fan. I think she's great, and I think she's just really exasperated with Craig. Craig is so sweet, and so, you know, so dull sometimes. But you know what? Like, you know, He has this great girl in Naomi, like a real catch. And I think she's just exasperated with him at this point. So I'm letting her have her exasperation.
Yeah, I still like her. I still like her.
But what about the nuggets?
I mean, chicken nuggets are just wrong. I'm sorry. That's a line just drawn in the sand. Sorry. That's just
I'm actually a little surprised. I have to say, Ronnie, I'm a little surprised. I would have thought that you'd have been pro chicken nuggets.
No, McDonald's, like the meat, I know it's fake, but it's 80% bread, you know, and I love the actual bread at McDonald's. And then the ketchup, which they gave him like a gallon of little things of ketchup, but the ketchup is just basically sugar juice, which I also, you know, sugar and bread. That's what I like. It's sugar, bread, and salt. And
I don't
that's
see where
delicious.
The nuggets have gone wrong for you then.
Nuggets, I feel like, are chickens with no beaks or eyes. They're raised like in a cage and then they're put into a big vat. They're like cooked and then put into a big vat and just like blended up with God knows what and then formed into these little things that look like feet. And when you bite into them, they have little air bubbles in the chicken. They're disgusting and I can't be okay with it.
Listen, Carol Radswell. Okay. You know, I understand that the chickens go through a very terrible journey to become nuggets. But, I mean, hey, when sausage, we grind up our meat parts and make sausages. We make hot dogs out of all sorts of things. I am fine with all the chicken parts and bread and cardboard that's in my chicken McNuggets because I think they are delicious little nuggets from heaven. However, my go-to is always a Big Mac.
Ah, there you go. We'll see. There we go. See, I love a Big Mac
ground.
Too. Yeah, that's and also we can be a good couple while eating different things like they did.
What I like about a McNugget though, the McNugget option is that if you are hungry but not hungry enough for a Big Mac, but you just want like a little something, the McNuggets are really good for that.
Yeah. Also, I feel better about eating a chicken without eyes or beak because like my friend Trish is always saying, I want to make sure the chicken was happy. Well, isn't that worse? Like you just killed a happy chicken. At least the eyeless, beakless one, you know, was depressed.
You put it out of its misery. I like that. I think that's a great... See, these chickens were so sad.
Yeah.
You know?
We're just doing them a favor. You know, the free-range chickens have their whole lives ahead of them. You know, what do these chickens have? Nothing.
were elevating their lives because they were miserable, but they brought happiness to people. So they're really martyrs, you know?
Exactly.
Whereas a happy chicken, I don't know if we've elevated their lives.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think we've degraded it. So,
you see,
yeah.
Look how we can come into a hug at the end.
Wait, so I feel like this makes you pro chicken nugget now.
No. Oh, you're right. You're right. It's still really well, the thing that grosses me out. The thing that grosses me out is the air bubbles. That's the thing that's
just the worst.
See,
I actually like that sort of like foamy chicken, the little foamy chicken innards of the nugget.
I'm tempted to get on Postmates right now and have McDonald's delivered to my house. Okay.
Don't do it with Postmates. It's Uber Eats. Uber Eats now has a partnership with McDonald's.
They do. Oh my God. It's a dollar cheaper.
It's brand new.
And you don't tip them. Oh my God. I'm in.
They're advertising it on the radio and they have pictures up at McDonald's because I went to McDonald's on Saturday because I was very hungry and only eaten since breakfast and it was 10 o'clock. Okay. So I got myself a Big Mac meal and there was a thing, Uber Eats. It's on Uber Eats. I feel like we should make a field trip to McDonald's and then we can like get some chicken McNuggets, put them right between us, and we can like really get to the bottom of this.
Okay. I'm in. I'm down for that. Okay. Open a new window. That's what I say.
Yeah, we will. We'll put it on like Instagram Live.
You're right. I just opened Uber Eats and McDonald's is the first thing. Under 30 minutes, McDonald's. Girl, I'm ordering this shit right now. Okay, you cover the rest of this show.
I would order it right now, except for the fact that I had McDonald's on Saturday. And I don't like getting McDonald's twice a week.
Also, I know we're going way too off the rails here. Sorry, everybody. But one of the things I hate about Uber Eats is they always have to call me. They try and get me to go outside of their car to pick up my food. And that is not going to happen. I'm paying you. You better bring it up.
That's their thing. That's their thing with Uber Eats is that you just go to the curb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's
their
thing.
I'm such a horrible human being. I was all mad at them. I'm doing it wrong.
Well, but here's the thing. You're learning. Look at what you've learned. You've learned how to do Uber Eats and that Uber Eats can bring you to McDonald's. It's almost like this is fate. You are going to have a spectacular McDonald's feast now.
Girl, I'm getting a Dr. Pepper, too. I'll be dead by the end of this show. Diabetes.
What are you going to order?
I'm getting a Big Mac meal.
Okay.
And also a cheeseburger.
Fries.
Mini cheeseburger. Oh, I'm getting a value meal.
A quarter pounder with some cheese filet, a fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a Happy Meal, McDonald's, 60 golden french fries, regular and larger size. Remember that song?
That's really good. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us have it your way.
Of course. Oh man, I memorized that song when I was a kid.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to keep talking because I'm gonna binge. Okay, so they go to Craig's new house. They walk through with Cam. Everything's great. Naomi's kind of mean to him, and Craig is wearing white jeans.
But what's really important about this is that like they bring Gizmo into the new house that Craig just bought, and Gizmo's just like walking around, just like. I don't know. Gizmo did nothing, okay? But to me, Gizmo did everything. I just love watching this cat walking up and down the stairs. And I also love how the editor is always like, they edit in all these meows. So, like, you know, because you know that Gizmo isn't meowing, but like, Craig will be like, Gizmo, we're here. And Gizmo will be like, meow. I love it.
But people with allergies hated that because. Like, here's my rental house, and a cat's walking all over it. Someone's going to die in that house.
I was thinking that's a bold move to bring a cat to the rental. I was like, you know, there are people going to like just be, like, wheezing now as a result of this. So anyway, so they're there with Cam, and Cameron's already talking about how she wants to have a birthday trip, et cetera. You know, that's sort of setting the stage for the vacation. And now the whole, like, Cameron and Craig and Naomi start talking about T-Rav and Landon. And Cameron's like, you know what? Like, Thomas can have any fish in this city. And he goes for old Lando. And I just sort of thought it was, like, hilariously degrading to Landon to call her both a fish and just old Lando, like a carpet or
she looked disgusted.
Dying Dalmatian.
She looked disgusted and said she's going to vomit. I mean, what the hell? Any fish in this big old Charleston Sea? Get stuck with old Lando. What did he have? One of Chelsea's chicken backs out there on a stick? I mean, how the hell did that happen?
Any one of them. There's so many fish fillets in this. Oh, yeah, there we go. McDonald's.
I thought Landon and Chelsea, Landon and Cameron were friends.
They are. I actually don't think that Cameron was intentionally trying to be nasty, but it just sounded super mean.
Yeah, hopefully she was referring to just the in-fucking in the group, because that seems kind of C-wordy, and you know that Landon's like,
a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a happy meal. So then,
can I please order an unhappy meal?
Can I have a McDLT, please? Oh, they don't have them anymore. Oh, just my luck. Now I don't have a McDLT, or soon Charlotte. What about McPizza? No?
So,
she just has a full breakdown at McDonald's.
Why did Shep go to Chelsea's? Did he? Was he just in the neighborhood? Was he?
That's what he said. I'm not lying. He walks. He's like, well, I was in the neighborhood.
And then he just stays there and goes into her pantry and just starts taking stuff out.
Yeah. And then, and then they're like hanging out, and he starts talking about how he's going to meet up with Cameron the next day because he's going to look at a house. He's like, gosh, I need a new house. I need to change my lifestyle. Too much partying. I need a recalibration. Gosh. She's like, so you're going to leave your house? You're going to move to a house by the beach? How's that going to fix anything? Gosh, it just will. I'm like, no, I'm with her. I don't know how moving houses is going to change anything. It's not like the house.
Maybe I'll be tempted to be a one-woman guy, gosh. This whole thing, first of all, what do you think of Chelsea's behavior? Because she's saying like, well, I don't like to, you know, just stick with one person. But she does, though, because she's obviously awkward whenever Shep is hinting at her or asking about Austin. She's feeling weird about it, and I'm confused as to why she doesn't just say, yeah, I'm dating him, like, leave it alone.
I agree.
Why do you need to ask?
I'm confused by her, and I don't think that she's being manipulative. I think that she's not really honest with herself, because I actually do think, and you know, I'm always loath to say, oh, she's leading him on. It's not her fault. It's his fault. But in this case, he's like, so where do you stand? And she's like, oh, you know, we hang out here and there. She downplays it a lot, where this guy actually is doing what Patricia said Thomas should do, which is that he's calling on a lady, you know, not really bringing her roses. Eating all her food, which is very nice of a man to do for a woman. He's like, gosh, I want you to be in the best shape possible, gosh. But like, no, but honestly, she is downplaying it. And, you know, this is a guy who sort of has some sort of amorous intention, or at least did at one point. So, you know, I don't totally blame Shep for getting a mixed signal on that front. And I do agree with you that even though she doesn't have to say, oh, we're in a serious relationship, she can be like, yeah, I'm currently pretty exclusive with him. But at the same time, she does say that. She does say, I'm not hanging out with anyone else.
Yeah, but she says, well, I'm not hanging out with anyone else, but, you know, if there's checking in that starts to happen, I'm out. And he's like, whoa, you're like a unicorn. Gosh. How did I miss out on that? She's not saying she wants to be with someone that's constantly going out and getting wasted and fucking 20-year-old Shep.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because she's saying she doesn't want to be suffocated by a guy. She doesn't want anything too serious. She just wants to be like, when we hang out, and it's super fun, but like there's no sort of like relationship obligations beyond that. Yeah. But at the same time, though, she is, when he's like, gosh, you know, I snoozed and I lost. What was I thinking? I guess I just sort of smooched you in. You know, I guess we smooched and that's it. And she's like, yeah, well, you made me feel like all the other sort of hoes.
Yeah, I like that she said that. She's like, well, it did make me feel like I was just some late night rendezvous after we smooched.
Well, it's interesting. So here's where I got confused, because I think I totally, you know, of course she felt that way, because, you know, he does have like a, you know, a little black book that's like bulging at the seams with new entries. But at the same time, she's sitting here saying, I like something super casual, where no one's really checking in on me. And then she's like, yeah, we smooched, and then I had to wait for you to get back from a wedding, and I wasn't cool with that. It made me feel shitty. So it almost sounds like he did do what she says that she likes, which makes me think that even though she says that's what she likes, it might not be what she likes.
I'm thinking she's probably just been hurt by a lot of guys.
Yes.
And so she's trying to be cool so that they don't think she's some needy thing, and she's making an effort to not be needy.
Right.
But, you know, she's probably just waiting for a guy to say, will you be my girlfriend?
You know what it is? She wants someone who's into her but isn't oppressive. And Shep did not Shep was not oppressive, but he didn't really show that he was into her.
Yeah.
He just treated her like a hookup, not like Austin, who was like, yeah, I'm into you, but I'll like play it cool. Even though Austin wants to call her like every day.
I just, someone who says words like smooched in that way, like still is innocent at heart, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting. Anyway. What an interesting multifaceted lady she is.
So the next one is a shitty little house. Cameron goes to look at this shit house, and
there been a mistake? Is this supposed to be Craig's house? The other house supposed to be Shep's? Because I don't understand how this is happening.
And there was a sign out front that says, "We'll or sell your house for $2,500." I'm like, they should work on that wording because who wants to do that? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like the shittiest company ever. It's like a Landon company, you know?
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, she's trying to show this house to Shep, and he's not showing up.
Yeah, he's MIA. It's 11:13 a.m. She calls. He's not answering. I mean, this place is a shithole, and there's, like, some crazy dogs out in the back. I can't tell if they're, like, Doberman Pinschers or one of those giant big poodles that I hate. But either way, because you know I hate poodles. They're one of my least favorite breeds. I'm sorry, everyone. I know there are poodle lovers out there. We've discussed this.
I love
poodles are my chicken McNuggets.
I poodles love poodles McNuggets. Because they're so beautiful, and they're so frou-frou, and they're such assholes.
I actually do not think they're beautiful. I don't think they look good.
Well, they're groomed. You know, they're so groomed, and they have, like, this... I don't know.
Poof on their top of their head.
Yeah, they're just groomed to be these pretty dogs, and they're just their attitude.
They'll rip your throat out. Shut up. I don't care if they're smart. They're assholes. Just like you said, they are full on assholes. I've never met a poodle that is just chill. Okay.
Yeah. Like, you have to get them really fat to chill. I used to have a poodle when I was a kid, and we had to really get that fucker fat before it would even stop biting us. You know.
I'm open to a fat poodle. Okay. But like,
That's all I needed.
You know, I don't care if a dog is smart. Actually, the smarter the dog, the worse the dog is generally.
Yeah. That's
true. They know how to get up onto the kitchen counter and get into the food. It's like,
well, it's like the person, you know, once someone's too smart, they can outsmart you. Once they study too much psychology, they can manipulate you. It's like, you can't win. You know, sometimes it's just better to be with a dumb one who will, you know, bring home half the rent check.
This is what we need in life. Sad chickens and stupid dogs. That's what we need.
Sad chickens and stupid dogs.
You know, we're learning a lot about the animals, the things that we like, that we value in an animal, okay?
So this is basically Cameron just, you know, worrying about Shep, and he doesn't show up. So she drives all the way to his house, and she goes in.
And the music, by the way, sorry to interrupt, but the music is so tense. It's, you would have thought that she was going to show up to Shep's house and he was strung up like that one person in Seven, you know, like tied up to a bed and rotting for 10 days. Like,
yeah, like the slop guy, yeah.
It's like you would have thought the worst thing would have happened. So she walks in, the door's open, there are beer cans everywhere, and guess what? Shep's sleeping in bed. I'm like, is this the climactic moment? Shep is sleeping?
Yeah, shocker. And she's doing her mom thing where she's going, Shep, Sheppy, Shep. When she finds him, she's like, now, Shep, it's one. I went to the house. I waited. I called. Shep, this is the lowest point I've ever seen, Shep. I'm like, he's sleeping till one. How is this the lowest point you've ever seen, Shep? If this is the low, we saw him at a lower point on Southern Charm Savannah than he's ever been here.
We've seen him in L.A. at a lower point than he's ever been here.
Yeah.
He's wearing the same burgundy shirt. This is a low point.
She's like, it looks like there was a frat party downstairs. And he said, well, yeah, the staff from the Commodore comes over after work. And I think he still had like a little Coke in his nose. If you look at it closely, I'm not even kidding. And she's like, you just have to say no. And he's like, what? I'm usually functional.
And he's like, what happened here is why I'm leaving here. I'm like, Shep, you realize people have cars. They will come to your new house also. There's Uber.
Oh, good. So she says, I was worried. I just wanted to make sure you're not robbed or dead. And he goes, well, I'm not dead. I haven't been downstairs yet, but could you make sure there's still that half a block of cheddar in the fridge?
Gosh.
Well, that brings us to the end of Southern Chill. Everybody, this show is so fun. I hope you guys have made your mind up about chicken nuggets and poodles. Okay?
Yes.
Very important stuff.
Please weigh in. Please weigh in. I know I'm taking unpopular stances, but that's okay. I'm a renegade.
Yeah, guys. It's called controversy.
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you so much. Go over to Patreon. Check us out. The bonus episode's super fun. And we will be back tomorrow with a little blow dick mead.
Sounds great.
Bye, everybody.